Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome to the Insomnia Project. Sit back, relax, lie back, and listen as we have a calm and hopefully mundane conversation to help you drift off and find your way to sleep. I'm your host, Marco Timpano.
And I dare to dream of being mundane. I'm Amanda.
And that's Amanda Barker over
there.
Was that
too sassy?
We had a little sass stink on the end of it, but it's fine.
Sass stink?
Yeah. We got some lovely responses to our love letter to Vermont episode we had yesterday. People are wanting now to go to Vermont, and I can't recommend it nearly enough.
It's a really, it's a beautiful state for this state of mind, you know, when you want something cozy and comforting, and but still interesting, you know, which is the world we try to inhabit here.
Do you find the post office comforting?
The post office?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that I do. I do when I do my cards once a year.
Sure.
We've talked a lot about that and getting the stamps. I love getting those stamps. But in terms of the post office as an institution, I'm not so sure.
Sure.
I'm picturing different post offices that I've frequented in my life.
I love searching out and going to post office in other places outside of my country.
Do you really?
Yeah. Remember we were in Istanbul and we had to find a post office.
That's right.
I feel like we had to mail a packet of some sort.
We were mailing postcards.
Okay.
But for some reason you went and then I had to go. I'm not sure why. It hadn't opened yet. And then it's interesting because my memory is that you had to go do something. But what would you have had to do in Istanbul?
I was there. Some tea, maybe.
Maybe, because I was there by myself.
We traded off at a little cafe, right?
Yeah. What were we doing that we were doing? You stood in line, and then I went and stood for you, and it had just opened, and there was a lot of I remember there was a lot of discussion over which teller to go to.
I don't recall at all.
I mean, I recall being there. And
sure.
I think we were trying to mail postcards to our niece and nephews.
Sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, we go to this post office that's not far from our home, which is in a
drugstore.
Drugstore. Thank you. Yeah. I was going to say a drug mart, which is funny. And you know, sometimes you get someone who's very friendly and helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get those other people who just are all business.
I find that most of them in that one are very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm usually very – but there is something about a person who works in any post office where you're just grateful to be served.
It's true.
You just want to thank them. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You're making it happen that my package will get to my sister in time. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is, you just feel really, really – grateful.
There's an excitement when I get, you know, those cards that say you have a package.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't know what the package is. And you're like, what could this package be?
The mystery.
The mystery of it all.
The drama, the intrigue.
Yeah.
In my university, we would have a mail room. And that doesn't really exist much anymore. I went to my university, my old university. It had been a long time. What was the mail room? That building is no longer, but they did replace it with a new mailroom. But the thing is nobody in the student body is getting mail anymore.
Sure, of course.
You know, they don't have as much of a need for it. Like, we used to get our grades by mail,
right.
Like a whole bunch of things.
Yeah.
In fact, there was a mail strike, and I, or a strike of the a certain sect of workers,
right.
Of which the mail people were part of at my university. And I used that to my advantage to get a withdrawal from a class because everything was late because the
sure.
mail was delayed. So
right.
I said, oh, no, I withdrew. They just didn't get it in time because of the strike. So I used
right.
that to my advantage.
Sometimes you have to. Gone are the days when you're like, it must have got lost in the mail because you get so little mail.
Right.
We do have a wonderful mail carrier, I have to say. Our mail carrier, his name is Dominic, and he's just always so lovely.
I will say, since you and I have been working from home, and I don't think we're unique in this, I think a lot of people started feeling more this way. There's much more excitement around mail.
Without a doubt.
Because if you're home all day and... You know, even if you work out at home, which many of us do, and you know, your entertainment is going to be at night at home,
sure.
and of course you're cooking, there's a real excitement. It's your one sort of hello from the outside world, whether, you know, in our life we have lots of different streams of employment.
Right.
And so, you know, it might be a check that we're not expecting from our work as actors or artists, you know. I think we've well established that I like to get mail in the form of magazines.
Of course.
And subscription boxes, but also just other things, right? What do you most look forward to in the mail?
Oh, that's a great question. I guess I look forward to, I always liked getting postcards in the mail.
Yeah,
always
okay.
fun, or letters, but I haven't received a letter from someone formal in such a long time, nor have I written a letter. That's very formal.
You know who I saw today who I think would be a really worthy guest for you on this podcast?
Oh, who's this?
My dear friend. I'm going to say his full name and I'll explain why. Or should I not say his full name?
You do what you need
well,
to
anyway,
do.
Well, anyway, I don't know. People probably won't be able to spell it anyway if they wanted to find him. I don't know if he needs anonymity. But anyway, his name is Chris Levier.
Yes.
And he is a master at letter writing and card sending, just sending little hellos in the mail.
Sure.
He's, it's part of sort of who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so sweet. And he said, let's get together for a tea, which is just the sweetest thing in the world. But he's sort of from another era.
Right.
And he's quite a letter writer himself. So he's somebody that's sort of kept it up. My sister at one point, since I've talked about my sister today a little bit, wrote me a letter kind of out of the blue, which I thought was really nice. And for nothing in particular. She just wanted to write a letter once.
Oh, when's this?
Oh, I don't know, a few years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought...
I didn't write her back, so... that exchange or that hope for exchange didn't go very far.
You just received recently some address stickers.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
I did. I think I did.
Mm-hmm.
One of
the charities...
I have more than you now. It used to be you had a lot.
Yeah. You got a lot of bunnies and Easter egg.
Yeah, it was an Easter theme, I think, from Heart and Stroke. Yeah.
Right. And
we
that's the charity that Amanda's referencing there.
We have a lot of these now.
Yes.
It's become a thing.
We have
happened.
More of those letter address tags than we could possibly send out for.
I know. We could send a letter every day using one of those little sticker address tags and probably still have enough for a while.
It's true.
Like for a year at least. Yeah, I'm not sure. There's a lot of them. And I just keep saving them. So if people don't know what we're talking about, or if you're in a country that this is not, I don't know why this has become a thing here. But what I'm finding is when I donate to various causes, organizations, charities, I've become now part of their mailing list because they ask for your address.
Of course.
The donations are usually because a friend is doing a birthday fundraiser
sure.
of some kind. So over the years, you throw $50 here and
sure.
$35 to that walk or run, whatever.
Of course.
And so you become known to these charities. So what I'm finding is, especially around the holidays, but even, I mean, those ones were Easter themed. So I guess they're like, holidays are maxed out. Let's hit the people at Easter. They're sending, and there's a word for it, where people or where organizations send you something because they think you're more likely to give back in return. It's like a reciprocal soft contract.
I see.
Those are my those are my words. I'm not sure.
I love that. A reciprocal soft contract.
I'm quoting that phrase here. In other words, you know, when we talked about contracting in human relationships, we talk about soft contracting. So not a signature anywhere, but somewhere where you say, okay, are we in agreement on this thing? And that person in the conversation or interaction says, yes, yes, we agree on that.
Right.
That's a soft contract, because now you have created alignment with the other party. And once you create that alignment, then you can all agree that you're on the same page and you're more likely to convince them to do something, whether it's change behavior or whatever.
Continue
it may be.
To donate in this case.
Yeah. Or, so right. In this case, it is. We both agree that this is a nice thing.
Sure.
You know, we agree that this is your label and that you might be, oh, look, I don't need to write the address on the back of this, you know, receipt that I'm sending to my insurance. I can just plop this cute little sticker onto the back of the envelope or front of the envelope. Huh. Well, they're really nice at that hospital or that society or that organization. Maybe I'll just throw an extra little $30 their way, that kind of thing. That's what it is.
Might you be inclined to send Easter or spring cards out to friends and family because of these address stickers?
I don't see a world where I would.
A little bunny popping out of an Easter egg?
No.
Saying, hello, hop along?
No. But that said, I do collect all those cards, and I do try to use them.
The stickers, you mean?
And the cards, because the other part is they send cards.
Oh,
and
that's right.
The ones you're referring to about the Easter, there's cards in there too. Most of them are like, get better, get well soon. So I guess it's with a hospital or heart and stroke.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So I guess if you have a friend or loved one in the hospital, then you can send them one of these little cards. I don't know. But it's also maybe a thank you because I've donated in the past. But one would also argue, you know, they are spending a lot of money to send those things out. So I don't know. I don't know what the rate of return is
sure.
on those. But
the CAC, the customer acquisition cost.
I'm wondering if there is a post office that sticks in your memory since we're talking about mail
post office.
I bet there is.
There's a couple. So there's the oldest post office in Toronto, which is...
Where's that?
It's very close to George Brown College.
Okay.
I believe it's on Toronto Street.
All right.
We went into it. It's small. And it's kind of like it has the edifice of what was once the post office, and now it's been sort of swallowed by other buildings. Mm. But the edifice is still there, and you walk in, and it's just a small little post office, and you can send postcards there.
Mm-hmm.
Another post office that I remember is the one in the Vatican.
Oh, wow.
Because it's its own city-state. And so when you go to the Vatican, it has its own little post office where you buy Vatican stamps.
I didn't know that.
That's one of the reasons to go to the Vatican is to send a postcard with a Vatican stamp on it.
I see.
Or at least it was one of the reasons I made a point of going there when I was in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of other – we've been to some really cute post offices.
I'm trying to remember the one that I used to go to in Korea.
When you lived there.
When I lived there. And it's – I don't know if it's coming to me, but I did used to mail out things from Korea. I more remember the bank that I used to go to.
Sure, sure.
That I actually remember very well because, of course, I was wiring money back and forth and so on. But I do remember the one from my hometown. And I will say that older post office in little small towns, you know, are something to behold. The one in my old town was quite old.
Right.
You know, like it had like old stamps and old,
sure.
You know, those like stencil letters, like things like that.
I don't know what a stencil letter is.
Do you remember Hatch, the old Hatch show print?
Oh, yes, of course.
Workshop in Nashville. Now it's in the basement of the Country Music Hall of Fame, but it used to be a very old print shop.
Right.
So I feel like post office have that sort of old, just really almost gilded kind of. You know, just the stamp has been used for decades, that
right.
type of feel to them. You
sure.
know?
Speaking of stamps, when you go to buy stamps, do you just say, I want $10 worth of stamps, or do you look at the stamps and choose the stamps you want?
No, I usually say, can I get a book of stamps? And then I'll say, which ones do you have? And they'll say, this one. They don't usually give me an option.
Oh, I always say, can I see the stamps you have? And I make them pull them out. And then I'm like, just recently I bought tulips, I think they were.
Oh, yeah?
Stamps, because they were very – I was deciding between the tulips and there was some creature of the deep or something. And I was like, what do I use? What do I use? And so I went with tulips.
If I was an architect
or
somebody that planned airports, and I just say this to the world, what I would love is a post office in every airport.
Oh, this is brilliant.
Because so many times you buy the postcard and you may even get the stamp, but oftentimes what happens is, I mean, I can think of so many times where this has been the case. You and I are, you know, in whatever country you want to pick.
Say we're in Peru.
This time last year, we were in Panama.
Okay.
So say we're in Panama, but it could be anywhere. And, you know, you inevitably go to a little kiosk or a lovely vendor on the street side or that type of thing. Oh, three postcards for $2 or a dollar or whatever it is. And then you think, oh, you know what would be good? We'll send a postcard. My nephew would love it. My niece would love it. My other nephew would love it, and so on. And you well, now I haven't mentioned my other nephew because I have three nephews. I'm blessed with nephews. So in any event, you go, and then maybe you sit somewhere with a coffee or whatever the beverage is where you are, and you write
maybe
them out.
An orange Fanta,
you know, a mojito, if you will, whatever.
A yogurt-based drink.
Yes, a lassi. Anyway, and then you sit and you write out your postcards, and I do have memories of doing that when I was backpacking Asia, just having like an afternoon where I just sat. And actually, I remember doing it in Hong Kong. On just writing and writing and writing. But then you are tasked with, okay, you have all these postcards, you bought them, you filled them out for your loved ones. And then you are, as we were in Istanbul, tasked with finding a post office.
Sure.
Finding stamps, communicating with someone, having the right, you know, currency for the stamps.
Of course.
If they're not taking, because some of them are kind of old school, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wish that it was universally acknowledged that airports would have a post office, even if they're not on the other side of the gate, at least from the departures, so that everybody who's visiting can be like, oh, I just want to make a little stop to the post office kiosk, buy my stamps and have them send it. How hard would that be?
If you can buy postcards at one of the little stores in an airport, you should be able to buy the stamps.
Agreed.
And mail it out from there.
I agree. And I just think, I mean, really, ideally, it would be great if you had it on the other side of customs or security, because then, you know, inevitably, if you're like us, you do get there early. You are kind of just sitting there. And it's an easy thing to sit and do for that hour that you're waiting to board your plane. So wouldn't it be great to go and buy? Or, you know, you didn't have time in Paris to buy postcards, but now you're like, oh, you know what would be nice? I think there's quite a business opportunity there to buy those postcards. Because how many people – I know so many people that buy the postcards and then they don't ever bother to fill them out. They just buy them. I've done it. Or they fill them out. They take it to that level, but then they don't – oh, I never found. Oh, we'll find a post office today. I'm sure we'll see one.
Or how many times have you sent a postcard from a place, and you sent it from your hometown?
Yeah, so that the stamp I try really hard not to do that, but sometimes it happens, right? And then the stamp isn't the cool whatever it is, the cool stamp from Paris or the Vatican or Panama or wherever you are.
Of course,
it's from Toronto.
It has the Queen on it.
And you're like. You know, you hope your little, you know, niece doesn't notice, but those kids are savvy. And also that's part of the fun is that you're sending a little piece of where you went and that you're thinking about them there. And you write in the postcard, I saw this, I went to the Eiffel Tower, I went to the Louvre, or I saw the Panama Canal, or, you know, in Hong Kong, we made a day trip over to Macau today and we came back, whatever it is.
Of course.
And I just feel like airports would be wise to do this. And maybe some do, but I often am looking. And every now and then you will see like a mailbox drop in an airport. But they're pretty few and far between.
Sure. I want to send more postcards to people I know. And I have some postcards. So I should start writing them out, especially at this time of year where, you know, it's cold. People are inside. It can feel a little bit gloomy, a little bit gray. And, you know, just sending someone a postcard for no reason is a delightful thing.
I had my sister's best and dearest friend from a long time ago, a wonderful artist. She, at one point in her marriage, sent postcards, blank postcards, to legions of friends and family around the world.
Sure.
And as a fun project, really, and an act of love and many other things, she got everybody to send them to her husband so that he got different postcards from all over the world.
Oh, that is sweet.
Isn't that lovely?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's lots of things you can do with postcards. They're small, but they also don't take up a lot of room. So they're a nice thing to collect for those who do. I know my sister used to collect them. She used to put them on her closet door wall. She'd have a collection of postcards.
Where do you put your postcards when you receive them?
I put them in my taxes.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, things like that I throw into, because we still keep old school files for our taxes. So generally speaking, that's what I do. I don't know. It's not probably the best choice, though. Or I throw them in with photos, but then they just kind of languish.
We have a few on our fridge.
We do. They go in our fridge for a long time.
Yeah.
When we get a postcard, it's pretty committed to our fridge for sometimes a year or at least half a year.
Sure.
And inevitably, I do a big cleaning of the fridge and then I'm like, okay, it's time to take this down.
What's always fascinating is when Amanda and I are in a place and we're buying postcards, you and I have both very different postcard attraction.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We tend to...
I like a woman in bikini with something sassy, but like 80s hair. No, I'm just joking. Like
we have purchased
bums
those
on a beach or whatever.
we have purchased
beach bums. Wish you were here. I don't know.
We have sent those out to people. We have. I don't know. Sometimes I like the ones that have little squares with different parts of the city, and you prefer the different ones. It's just interesting to see people's taste. I know when we were in Tel Aviv, we were looking for postcards, and you and I
had very different
tastes.
I had a collection of really beautiful postcards. I still have them from Korea. There used to be gorgeous postcards in Korea, really beautiful ones, almost like little, you know, and they were so nice that you think, oh, okay, I want to frame them. They had like a framed border around each one.
Sure.
And, you know, I wasn't a broke student, but I was just barely. I mean, it was my first kind of, or second rather, job out of school. And I was definitely still living like a student. So anyway,
right.
I had a, you know, a little sparse room that I lived in, my bedroom. And that was one of my decorating pieces, was this pack of postcards. I got like 20 postcards of scenes around Korea, and I made it like a border around the perimeter of the room.
Sure.
And I still have them.
Yeah, I've framed postcards before that are really pretty.
Sometimes I'll get a free postcard from a restaurant. New York used to do this a lot, where
yes.
you just grab a postcard, and then that's a fun thing to send of some funky, weird little art installation or restaurant or something.
I have an interesting postcard story that I may have already told on the podcast, but I'm going to retell it now.
So an encore presentation
of my encore postcard presentation. So we have dear friends, Mark and Adrian, who are married.
Right.
They went to Quebec City and they had a great time. Mm-hmm. Quebec City, you know, Quebec City is a wonderful city to visit. If you're thinking, where can I go?
Listen, if you like Vermont, you'll love Quebec.
Yes. No, but Quebec City is special.
Quebec City is a gorgeous, gorgeous, wonderful experience of a city.
If you're living in North America and you're like, I've always wanted to go to Paris, but it's a little bit out of my price range, I say go to Quebec City. You will love it. Now, let's get back to the story.
Okay.
Mark and Adrian had a great time. I think it was their anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
Or it was before they were getting married in Quebec City. They get married and they go back for their anniversary to Quebec City.
Mm-hmm.
Same beautiful B&B, same beautiful time. It's summer. They're having a lovely time. They pick up some postcards to write, to send to friends and family. And Adrian turns the postcard over and she's got this blank look on her face. And Mark's like, what's up? What's going on? And she hands him the postcard and says, look. He looks at the postcard, and it's old Quebec, which is Old Quebec City. Old. Do they call it Old Town? Old Quebec? They call it Old
Vieux
Quebec. Right.
Old, yeah.
Old Quebec. And it is like cobblestone streets and really old buildings. And in the postcard captured is Mark and Adrian from a year before.
Unbelievable.
Walking away. So you just see the back of them. And Adrian says, I remember when I wore this.
Wow.
Because, you know, Adrian was like, I remember what I wore on that day. I wouldn't remember what I wore on that day, but you're more the type of person to say, I remember what I wore on that day. Yeah. And it's a picture of them. And so they had it blown up and they framed it.
Oh, did they?
And it says, you know, Old Quebec. And it has a picture of them walking away in a postcard. And
that's
such a wonderful tale. Yeah. It's kind of like, have you ever looked at, you know, Google does... The Google car goes and takes pictures, and then you can...
Yes.
What's that called? Google Maps?
Google Earth.
Google Earth.
I think, or Google Maps, yeah.
Have you ever gone on that to see places where you live and
We saw the cottage, remember? We looked at the cottage, and so that was the day, looks like your parents were closing down both cottages. Mm-hmm. You could see because the machine was out to suck the air, or the water, rather, out of the pipes.
Yeah, we have a condenser,
Interesting
little... compressor, I should say.
Interesting little snapshots of the world. There used to be a website, and it exists. Because it's only been a couple of years since I saw it, but which gives you, I don't know if it's live footage, but gives you footage from windows all over the world.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah. So you, and it's random. So you just kind of go on it, and then it'll be like, oh, here's this window in Kenya. Now you're in Kenya. Or here's this window in Dubai or whatever. Yeah.
What a wonderful way to take sort of a little... vicarious break and see other places through the windows.
There used to also be an app that was like a random Google Earth app. So you would just be like, where do I go? Like kind of like when you're a kid and you twirl the globe and stick your finger on it, but like a virtual version of that. So I can't quite remember, but it just kind of gives you random places and shows you random places. Like, oh my goodness, you know, now I'm in Northern Ireland.
Sure.
Look at this little... you know, yard.
Right.
Or whatever. And it's just little pieces of those maps, those Google Earth pictures.
How do you feel about those things you can purchase, which is like a little snippet of the map of where you're from in a heart, and then it has a little liney thing that goes to the place where I was born with another little heart. So it shows.
Is that what I'm getting for Valentine's
Day? No, you're not getting anything for Valentine's Day, but I'm just curious to how you feel about those.
I don't really understand what you're talking about, but no, thank you.
Okay. It's like...
Because then what do? I put it on the wall?
Well, it's a picture. Let's say you're from Boston. So it would be like Boston, like a little street map of Boston, like you would get if you were touring the city.
And it
would
have
You know, like a map that you would use to find your way around before phones existed, before, you know...
You just go on the Riviera Trail.
Right. And it would have a
heart
around that little area. And then they would draw a line from your little place in Boston to me in North York, Ontario.
I don't need that.
Okay.
I don't need that little line, nor do I understand.
I get a lot of messages on my phone telling me I should buy that for you. So, I get a lot of that.
I like some versions of things like that, but the one you're describing sounds, in your words, rancid.
Yeah, it is a little bit. It's not for me. But I get really odd things. Like, I think one time I mentioned that I thought Beyonce was great, and then I was getting a lot of Beyonce.
Well, there's a lot of Beyonce
videos, content. I know there's a lot of content.
That hot Beyonce content.
Directed to me.
Yeah.
And then it became...
I like that you get that. I get amusement parks. You know what I get a ton of?
Mm-hmm.
Water slides.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My phone, in whatever media app I open... I don't know why, but I do enjoy them. So I guess I look on them and then goes, oh, you liked this.
I had 3 months of Ariana Grande being sent to me and I couldn't understand.
And the soccer player.
Yeah, so I had a lot of Ariana Grande and I must have been saying something in Italian. And I have a cousin named Ariana.
Oh, I see.
So I think I said her name a couple of times. And so then
my phone just said,
I know what you like. It was a lot of...
Ariana Grande.
Listen, I don't have a problem with Ariana Grande at all. I think she's great, but not my thing. And then I got so much soccer content, so much from Cristiano Ronaldo, who I really like as a soccer... Like, he's probably one of my favorite soccer players now because I've seen...
I didn't know you had a soccer player favorite.
I've seen so many clips of him, and he's so nice.
Oh, okay.
And so now I'm like...
See, you got your phone wanted to educate you
on
how nice he is. Whereas my phone wants me to watch people getting into a tube in the Bahamas and going down a weird water slide. Everywhere. It'll be like, look at this crazy water slide in, you know, somewhere in China. Okay, great.
Well, let us know what your phone is giving you.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not too much Insomnia Project content.
No, never enough.
Never enough. But for all of you, let us know what your favorite post office is, if there's a particular stamp that you like. And until next time, we hope you enjoyed this particular episode. Any last things you'd like to say, Amanda?
No, I thought we started to get a little, we started ramping up with the phone combo, and I just want to get back to the beautifulness of post offices mm-hmm. around the world. So yeah, I'd love to hear people's experiences with different post offices around the world. Yeah. Mm.
And until next time, we hope you are able to listen and sleep.